Tonight, comedian Russell Peters takes his bold brand of cultural comedy to Radio City Music Hall.
That's who can't do business together. Chinese people and Indian people cannot do business together. Because Indians cannot live without a bargain, and Chinese people cannot give you a bargain. Their objective is to get every penny from you, and ours is to keep every penny.
Peters was born in Canada to South Asian parents. After more than 20 years in the comedy business, Forbes magazine last year named him one of the 10 top-earning comedians in the U.S. He's currently on the road with his green card tour. He joins us now from New York City. Russell Peters, welcome.
Thank you, host Audi Cornish. What kind of name is that anyway? Tell me about that.
Oh, well, I know I'm going to open the door for some jokes here, but my parents are Jamaican.
Oh,
and
shoot.
My dad insists that he got the name from...
A car?
A beauty queen.
No. He was like, darling, this is my favorite car. Two cars in one. A Corniche and a Howdy.
What is your favorite accent to do?
It depends. I get into moods. Sometimes I'll just speak like a Jamaican all day. I'll just get on the phone with my best friend Marlon, and he's Jamaican, so I'll just speak to him in Jamaican the whole conversation. And even he'll just answer me in normal English. And I'm sure he's sitting going, why is he doing this? But I just get stuck in it. And sometimes I get stuck in a Chinese accent. Just want to talk to everybody like a Chinese person. Or Trinidadian's always fun because it's so, you know, relaxed, and I'll just end up talking to people. Yeah, boy, I just catching a lime on the beach or something, you know. Whatever it is, I get stuck in these zones. And then sometimes I might even just talk like myself. But that's on a crazy day.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
But just so you guys know, Indian people are fully aware of what their accent sounds like. We don't actually need you We know exactly what it sounds like. We know it's not the coolest accent in the world, you know? You're never going to see two Indian guys in a club standing around going, hey, man, aren't we cool?
Now, where do you come up with these kinds of skits?
Generally, my stuff comes from real life. In my current act, I'm talking about how in December of 2009, I was performing in Jordan, and the king of Jordan, King Abdullah, called and invited me over to the palace. And he cooked dinner for me. And he got me drunk, and then he made us go fire guns in his private range. And the king is like, he's like a normal dude. He's not like how you think a king is going to be, you know? How they make it in movies and how they make them all so stuffy and uptight and boring. He was a really cool, interesting guy who does not have an Arab accent at all. He went to school in Boston.
This makes me think of a very funny bit from your show where you talk about the depiction of Muslim or Arab people in the news as, like, always yelling.
And whenever they show you, like, Arabic being spoken on TV, it's always like these crazy people in these protests in the Arab world. And they're all speaking this really harsh Arabic. And so it's like, America! Because that's what they want us to think is going on over there.
Yeah, they just keep showing you the same three lunatics, but because we can't tell the difference, everyone thinks everybody looks like that there.
So much of your comedy, though, does sort of take race and culture and class and sort of puts it through a funhouse mirror. And I'm wondering how you developed that style. What drew you to that area of life?
Well, I think that's something that came to me as a child, because I was a very small kid. And granted, I probably had a big mouth on me. I was a victim of a lot of racial bullying. Because I was so small and didn't know how to fight or couldn't fight back, I would try to flip the situation so that the bully would end up laughing and they're thinking that I'm making fun of myself. But really, at the end of the day, I was getting myself out of an ass whooping.
And it's interesting because often in a lot of comedy acts, I've at times felt as though people of color are the butt of the joke in this age of being un-PC, you know, it's sort of cool. And I'm wondering how you walk that line, how what you're doing is different.
I don't look at it as PC. I think it's all about motive. What's your motivation when you say these things, you know? It's almost like talking to an old person or a kid. Those are the two most honest people you'll meet. They'll tell you exactly what they think and exactly what they see. And they're not saying it to hurt your feelings, and they're not saying it to get a rise out of you. They're just saying what they see. When I go to do my act, I go with the same sort of earnest honesty, and people can see that. And people generally see through BS, you know.
But it sounds like you really found an audience. I mean, not just a general audience, but an audience of people who felt as though you were really describing their experience.
You know, growing up, my whole life, I always felt I was the only one like this. And then, you know, throughout the years of doing comedy and people connecting with it that way, you realize this is a lot of people's experiences.
Well, comedian Russell Peters joining us from New York City. Russell, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, big up yourself, Hody.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Arranged marriage is a big problem in my community, man. You know what I mean? It's not so much a problem. It's a problem if you want it to be a problem. I mean, it's a problem for me. You know what I mean? My parents tried that on me last year. They came up to me. They're like, my mom goes, Russell, you're getting older now. And you're not married. What if I bring some nice girls home for you? I go, I bring nice girls home all the time. I just leave in the morning. You know, that's a nice girl right there. She's like, no, I will pick some girls and you can choose the one you like. Like, are you out of your mind, man? My mom wanted to pick my wife. I wouldn't let my mom pick my clothes.